Turn to 1 Kings 19. Have you ever felt like you were alone? Sometimes being alone doesn't require being by yourself. Feeling alone doesn't always mean there's no one around. You can feel alone in a crowd. And I suppose the worst aloneness, if there is such a word, is when there is someone around and those people, that person that is with you or close to you or at least in the same geography is no help or seems to be no help or there seems to be no one that can assist or help out. The man we're looking at tonight knew well of this feeling, of this emotion of feeling alone. He went so far to say, I'm the only one left. No one else is standing except for me. Now I'm sure by now you probably have recognized that we're going to be looking at Elijah just for a little bit tonight. Look in beginning in verse 13. We'll do some backing up in just a minute. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah is confessing to the Lord this emotion that he's feeling, of feeling like he's the only one left. And that's what I want to try to preach on tonight. Just the simple one word thought, alone. We find in these verses that Elijah, at least as far as we can tell, is as miserable as he ever has been. Now, maybe there were times when he was more miserable, but the Bible doesn't reveal that, doesn't record that. And I believe that'd be a good place to start. We see a miserable man. And I suppose that there's nothing that would make us more miserable than exactly what we find here that he confesses to the Lord. He has said, I have been jealous for you. He means by that, I have had a heart for you. I've put you first. I've stood for you and with you. I've fought against the enemy. I've stood when others didn't stand. I've stood when others forsook you. He says, I have been faithful, and he had. In fact, here's the man who was the one that God used to help the widow. Here's the man who prayed, and for 3.5 years there was no rain and not even any dew on the ground in the mornings. Here's the same man who prayed at the end of that 3.5 years and rain came. Here's the man who raised the widow's son up from the dead. Here's the man who prayed fire down from heaven to consume the sacrifice. Here's the man who did away with 400 prophets of Baal. Here's a man who stood for the Lord. Here's a man God has used mightily. And now we find that same man hiding in a cave, trembling in his sandals, so to speak. And we find him in such a miserable condition that he says, in essence, I just feel like I'm alone in the world. And that same type of emotion, that same type of feeling, those same thoughts can also be ours under the right circumstances. The circumstances that drove Elijah to this place was a woman called Jezebel. I don't know what might take you there, but it's a short trip. From victory to defeat, sometimes it doesn't take long. And this man that we saw who used to stand for God and was used so mightily, now and just seemingly overnight, has come down to a miserable specimen of humanity. He's a miserable man. And the thing that he magnifies, the thing that he reveals about his thoughts and his heart to God, I suppose as much or even more than anything else, was this: I just feel like I'm the only one left. I feel alone. And there are those occasions, perhaps, where you feel alone. We can feel alone sometimes in marriage. You wives, you live with the man sometimes, and it seems like he doesn't even know who you are. You feel alone. You husbands, sometimes it just seems like your wife has no clue where you're coming from. You feel alone in your marriage. It just seems like things don't fit. There's something missing, and even though you live together and share the same house, it seems like you don't share the same heart. You feel alone in your marriage. Sometimes we can feel alone in our misery. We can go through battles and face difficulties and hardships. And even though we know the Bible teaches that other people have gone through the same type of thing, it seems like you're alone and no one understands. And even though sometimes perhaps people call or send cards or try to help you or are willing to listen, it just seems like something still just doesn't get finalized. You feel alone. And you sometimes just feel like I'm the only one who knows how I feel. And sometimes I'm not even sure how I feel. Alone in misery. Sometimes I think we can get like Elijah and feel alone in ministry. He says, I feel like I'm the only one left. I look around, I've searched, and according to my calculation, according to my poll, I'm the only one who still has any desire to serve God at all. He looked around, and he saw God's people, Israel, had forsaken him. And the prophets of Baal had exploded, and they were doing well, and people were following them. And it seemed like the enemy had the upper hand. Sort of sounds familiar, sounds like our day. And Elijah just said, I just feel alone in this ministry. I think I'm the only one left. And he makes that complaint to God. He's a miserable man. We see that in verse 9 and verse 10. Let's read that. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The same thing he's echoed that we've already read. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Will you understand with me? He is a miserable man. Not only do I see a miserable man, I see a man who's thinking wrong. His mentality is incorrect. His thoughts are flawed. And so my second point will be this. Not only a miserable man, but a mistaken mentality. I mean by that, he was thinking wrongly. His mentality was flawed. Why do I say that? He says, I'm the only one left. And he believed that because that's what he thought. And that's what he felt. He says, I'm the only one that's still serving. And by the way, he wasn't doing a whole lot of serving in that cave. He wasn't fighting the enemy too well, hiding off in that cave. So he has a mistaken mentality. His whole thought process is messed up. And that's what happens when you get to feeling alone. Your thought process, your thinking, your thoughts, and even your feelings get out of kilter. And you start thinking things in error. We start thinking wrongly. By the way, could I just throw this in? Even if he had been right, if he had been correct in what he said or what he was thinking, if he had been the only one left, and if there was nobody else on earth serving God except for him, that still didn't give him the right to quit serving God. Even if he had been alone and the only one left, he still didn't have a right to quit God. He didn't have a right to listen to this. What he was facing affect his walk for the Lord, or his walk with the Lord, I should say, or his work for the Lord. What he was facing, listen, was not an excuse to lay down on God. What he was going through gave him no right to say, excuse me, Lord, from this obligation, this calling that you've put on my life. Everybody else has quit, he thought. No one else is standing, he thought. But he was mistaken. But even if he had not been mistaken, if he had been correct in his assumption, he still had no right to quit. And neither do we. Just because we can name some people who have quit, that doesn't give us the right to quit. Just because we can really, rightly, for sure, no doubt about it, name some who have laid down and have failed, that doesn't give us the right to do the same. He had a mistaken mentality. He was thinking in a wrong way. Just because somebody else does wrong, that doesn't mean we can. Just because Brother Bill doesn't show love in Christ, that doesn't mean that I don't have to. Just because I may know some who don't give, that doesn't mean I shouldn't give. Just because I can probably point my finger to some who don't do right, that doesn't give me the right to not do right. Just because others are not praying as they should, that doesn't give me the right to not pray as I should. Do you understand what I'm saying? Elijah said, nobody else is. Why should I? Now, he was wrong in his assumption. There were, as we'll see in a minute, 7,000 that were still standing for God. But even if he had been right, he still didn't have the right to not serve God. In fact, I'd like to turn the coin over and say if there's anything on earth that should spurn us to selling out, it's when we see that very few, if any that we know, are selling out. I mean by that, if there's anything that should make us want to serve God, it would be or should be looking around and seeing how few are serving God. Oh, I know it can be discouraging. Elijah faced that. And we face that Every day we know of people, we see people, we know people well who used to serve God, and now they don't, and it can be so discouraging and so defeating. But if there's anything that ought to make us say, I'm not going to let it happen to me, it's the fact that it has happened to others. Do you see what I'm saying? And we ought to say, with God's help, I'm not going to let that happen to me. He had a mistaken mentality. And we ought to say, with God's help, I refuse to give up. I will stand for God, even if I have to stand alone. That's what Elijah thought. He thought he was alone. But he was wrong. But even if he had been, he still should have stood for God. A miserable man, Elijah was. A mistaken mentality, he was thinking wrongly. But then notice in verse 11 through 13, and I want to look at a magnificent message. We've read part of these again, but it does as well to look at them again. Verse 11. And he said, go forth, this is God speaking to him, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. He tells him to go and stand in the mountains. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces of rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake and fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. And then the last part of that verse says, and the voice came unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? I've tried to magnify in these verses the fact that Elijah was sent to the mountains and he saw many wonderful and magnificent things. He heard great things. He saw great things. He experienced great things. And God wasn't in any of that. But then he heard a still, small voice. And the thing that was magnificent in it all was not the storm or the earthquake or the fire. The thing that was magnificent was that still small voice. For in that voice there was a message from God. And God had something to say to his man. I think that tells us something. A thing that tells us that we're not to rely on our emotions, that loud, that experiential thing of the wind and the earthquake and the fire. But we're to rely on the voice of God, the Spirit of God, as He speaks to us. And in verse 18, notice what God says. Excuse me. I'm talking about a magnificent message. And God speaks still in verse 18. It says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. He heard from heaven. He heard a message from God. And God reassured him, you're not alone. You aren't by yourself. And then beginning back in verse 15, notice what it says again. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphath, and Abimea shall thou, if you will try it, you can, thou shalt anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that he that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. You know what God's telling Elijah? He's saying, I've got something I want you to do. He said, I've got three primary aspects of your ministry still left undone. He speaks of three specific men and three specific deeds or jobs he had to do. And that tells me God's saying to Elijah, you're not alone. You're not only not alone, I'm not through with you. There's still something I got for you to do. Now, I'm convinced that some of the most mighty deeds that could be connected to Elijah are following this experience that he has here. I've tried to magnify a miserable man. Boy, he's in bad shape. A mistaken mentality. He was confused and thinking wrong. A magnificent message in the midst of it all. He heard from God. And then number four, a mighty ministry. God says, Elijah, I want you to leave. I want you to go. I want you to get out of where you're at. And I want you to anoint three men. I don't have time to develop how that came to pass, but I'll say this. These three men, God used to, as we would say, annihilate Baal worship in the land. He did not use Elijah specifically and directly. He did in many great ways in dealing with the Baal worship and the idolatry. But through the process of what Elijah left behind and going out and anointing these other men, God wiped out in a great way the worship of Baal. Baal worship was banned before these three men that spoken here died. Baal worship was banned throughout the land. What am I saying? God's saying, Elijah, you may feel alone, and you may feel miserable, and you may feel like nobody understands, and you may feel washed up, but I want to tell you, there's a mighty ministry I've got for you still. If you'll just follow me, if you'll just obey me, I've still got stuff I want you to do, and I'm still going to use you. He's saying, I'm not finished with you. You're not alone. And sometimes you may feel washed up, you may feel alone, you may feel worthless, you may feel weak, you may feel like God's never going to use you, never has, never will. All those are lies of the devil. We're not alone. And when you're not alone, when God's with you, there's always possibilities of great things. You may feel all alone. You may look around and see very few, if any, who really care for the things of God. You may not be able to name a long list of people who have a heart toward God. But at the same time, we are, I am, and you are responsible and accountable to serve God in spite of what we see and in spite of what we hear and in spite of what we feel. We're to serve God. Could I throw this in? Like we are the only ones serving Him. That if we don't do it, it won't get done. We're to serve Him like that. But we're to recognize we're not alone. We are amongst others who care for God. But let me close with a few thoughts and I won't be long. Elijah says, I feel like I'm by myself. I feel like I'm the only one left. And I thought about this. What if I was the only one? What if there was nobody else? What if you were the only one on earth serving God? What if what Elijah felt was a reality in your life? You were the only one that was still serving God. If you are the only one still serving God, you ought to still be faithful. That's what Elijah finally came to the conclusion. He said, I'm the only one. And he was discouraged and he was pretty well defeated at this point. But he hadn't given up completely. And it did get back in the saddle and it did walk on with God, and God used him mightily. I'm saying he was still faithful. He continued on walking with God and serving God. And if you're the only one left, you ought to be faithful. We ought to be faithful to God's will, whether it brings us through burdens or brings us through blessings. Whether we're through going through the clover-filled meadows of glee or the dark, dry desert of discouragement and despair. Wherever God leads us, we ought to just be faithful. Whatever's going on around you, whatever others aren't doing, whatever others say against you, just be faithful. Keep serving God if nobody else does. If your best friend quits serving God, don't you quit. If your wife says, I'm never going to church again, don't you say it. If your husband won't come with you and says, I'm not going back to church, you just well forget even saying anything about it to me, woman. You just keep on serving God. You be faithful if everybody else quits. If you are alone, which you never will be, but if you are, if you were the only one serving God, we ought to say, I'm going to keep on serving Him. If your best friend quits, if the one you have the most confidence in on earth, the Christian you have more confidence in than anybody on earth right now, if that person quits God, don't you quit God. You keep being faithful. Keep serving the Lord. Keep going with God. If your best friend quits God, tell them you love them. Tell them you'll pray for them. Tell them that what they're doing breaks your heart, but you're still going to walk with God. Weep over them. Pray for them. Care about them. Try and help them, but you keep serving God. I'm talking about you be faithful if you're the only one. If we were the only one left, we not only would need to be faithful, but I think we need to be honest. Elijah, even though he said many things from the heart of despair and discouragement, some of what he said was true. Much of Israel had forsaken God. Much of Israel had messed up. Much of what the enemy was doing was being successful. Even though he was discouraging, even though he was defeated, even though it was dark, much of what he was saying was true. So he was honest. He saw the need as it was. It won't do us any good when things are dark to say, oh, everything's fine. When trouble's brewing, it doesn't help you to have the Robert Schuller mentality of, everything's bright and wonderful. Oh, that won't last long. That won't get you through the dark night. That won't help you when you're weeping. That won't help you when trouble comes. We got to be honest. But at the same time, in our honesty, we got to see God doing what we can't do. Elijah was honest and he saw the need. We ought to be honest. We don't want to be ostriches with our heads stuck in the sand and say, everything's fine in the neighborhood. No, we're in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Our families are in a mess. Our children's in a mess. There's no doubt. It's a dark day. But that doesn't give us a right to quit God. You may feel alone. Oh, face things as they are. See that it is dark. But realize there's a God who can take care of it. And that's my next little point. Elijah realized that God could help him. And because of that, he was willing to stand. And if you're the only one, if you are alone in this thing of serving God, we should be willing to stand. Israel should have, but they weren't right then. It was their job. It was their responsibility. But they weren't. And we're living in a day when God's people should do a lot better than we are. We should stand when we don't. We should shut up when we don't. We should serve when we don't. There's a lot of things we're messing up.
But still, there's a God in heaven. Just because others, just because many, perhaps we could say even in spite of the fact that most of God's people aren't doing so good, that doesn't give us the right to quit. Even if you do feel alone like Elijah did, we need to recognize that victory is still possible. I close with that thought. The odds were great. Elijah was telling the truth in many respects. It was a dark day, but the God of heaven had a solution. And all Elijah could do was listen to God and obey God and trust God. And he did, and God brought forth the victory. And that's all we can do. You can't change the world. You wives, you can't even change your husband. Husbands, you can't even change your wife. You can't even change the children. We sure can't change the world. But God can. And all we can do is listen to God and hear what He says to you like He did Elijah. And then obey what God says. And trust God to work and do what you can't do. You may feel alone tonight. Wait a minute. You may be alone other than God. Don't think that you are, to be honest. I think you got some people that love you and some people that'll care and people that help you. But you may feel alone. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven who can take you through the wilderness. He can take you through the dark area and give you victory on the other side. Don't give up. Keep standing. Keep trusting. Keep an ear toward heaven, a heart toward Him. Obey and wait for God to do what you can't do. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. You've listened well tonight. I appreciate that. Perhaps there's someone here tonight who needs to come and pray about something.